Good morning, everyone. Yeah, so as we begin, there's a couple of things I want to. Well, one, I want to pray. I think there was a mention praying for somebody named Kathy. It's your mom over there. She's in the hospital, not doing very well. Real quick, is there anybody else that has a prayer request? All right, well, let's go ahead. Oh, go ahead. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Susan. All right, well, Father, Lord, as we have come together today to worship you, Lord, we in a place where we want to lift up others, Lord, above ourselves at this moment. And, Lord, we know that we've heard someone has lost their life, Lord, and their family that have to take care and deal with that. We ask you to be with them. Be with those, Lord, as we know there were several that had COVID. We just pray, Father, for those as well, that they may recoup from that and heal quickly. We pray for Kathy as she is in the is bedridden right now and hooked up to a lot of lines and tubes. We just pray, Father, you be with her through this time and others, Lord, that are sick. We just want to lift them up to you today, for you're the great healer and physician. And we know, no matter what, if we have a relationship with you, we are eternally saved. And our home is in heaven. We'll be with those who need your special touch today. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Well, we are past our kind of like our Christmas day, but I want to share with you a little bit out of the book of Luke, continue out of that. Luke chapter 2, as you're turning there, I want to remind you, I think I heard that coming back and forth here in the back. I heard that we kind of mentioned that there was like $79,000, I think it was, in our fundraising campaign to the end of the year. But actually, that number is actually like 86,000. So that is bigger than what we could ever imagine it could be. But this is what happens when you give God something that is impossible with man. Nothing is impossible with God. So these are for our ministries. It takes a lot to run ministry, especially when we're opening up a men's house. It's going to run another $80,000, $90,000. That really made our budget go up. But God has called us to it, and we are staying faithful in what God has called us to. And we continue to move forward. We're praying for a director with that. We continue to see where that leads. But I just know this. God is not finished with new life. And we're going to continue to keep doing what we're called to do. Amen? Amen? Amen. So if you have your Bibles, we're in Luke chapter 2 this morning. And this is the only a few verses do we get. Maybe a half a dozen, maybe a dozen verses we get when between Jesus' birth and Jesus beginning ministry. We have this little spot here when he's like 12 years old. And sometimes those are what we would call sometimes when you see your children or grandchildren growing up around 11 and 12, they become the awkward years. Those were awkward years sometimes. But Jesus being the Son of God, oh man, what a great responsibility Joseph and Mary had. But we're going to read some scriptures today, and we're going to see what we can learn from here today out of the book of Luke, chapter 2, starting verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. Well, we find out here, just in these couple of verses, that the parents here, Joseph and Mary, are committed believers. They are followers of the Lord. It says here that they went up every year to the feast of the Passover. They didn't skip it, like sometimes we do. They didn't skip it. They were faithful. They were committed. They were good, godly parents. They were good godly believers. And every year they would have this Feast of the Passover. This was the to be reminded and celebrate. If you go back to the book of Exodus, you'll see where God has delivered the people, the Jews, out of the hands of slavery and given freedom from Egypt. So they became free. And it was that night, and they had this Passover meal. And this is a reminder. Every year they would celebrate it. Celebrate what God has done for them. And they were faithful with it. Would remember it. And to the Jews, this was a very, very important feast and a time of celebration. And Joseph and Mary were solid. And they did what they did every year. They didn't go alone. They took Jesus with them. Jerusalem is this big city, busy, lots going on, a lot of things are going on. A lot of things are going on, a lot of activities. Doing this unleavened bread, which is doesn't get big, it's unleavened, small. And when they would eat from that, there would be a reminder that this is the time. This is our feast. This is our celebration. This is our celebrating our freedom, what God has given to us. Maybe we should probably celebrate our own salvation from time to time. Be reminded of what God has done for us, as we just did, reminding what God has done for us, even just as we celebrated Christmas. And we're thankful for God giving us Jesus as an eternal gift. But there was something here in this story that was kind of odd. It says that Jesus lingered back. It means he wasn't done. He was hanging out. He was doing his thing. It goes on in verse 44, but supposing him to have been in the company, they thought he was with them, they went a day's journey, and they sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Wow, we can get caught up with everything when it comes to the holidays. You know that? You ever forget a kid? You ever forget a kid when you went to the mall and went shopping? Look around and you didn't see him? All it takes is a moment. You can't see them. You're getting very nervous. Now I know that me and Carla is not the only one that lost one of our kids. Yeah. Can you say hiding in Sears or whatever it was around the circle closed and hiding in there looking all over? Alex, yeah. So, or Tyler, who would wander off and never, he'd just wander off. He thought he was on his own. But when it happens, your whole heart just sinks. You've lost the most important person in your life. I mean, could you imagine losing one of your children? I've had a family member who, they were coming to visit us, and they left, and they said, we had to turn around. We forgot. We left them at the daycare. It happens. Sometimes we get caught up, and we forget. And we're talking. We're mingling. And all of a sudden, hey, I got a responsibility. I got a kid here. Where's my kid? You know, it doesn't tell us in Scripture, but I can guarantee you this. Carla would be saying, where's he at? I'd be saying, where's he at? And then, as we couldn't find him, then we'd be getting nervous, and then we'd start turning. Well, that was your responsibility. No, that was your. You were supposed to be the one watching him. No, you were supposed to be. So we begin that play. And then today, we would call something called an Amber Alert. We just throw it out. So everybody starts looking. They didn't have any of that. You got to remember what the times was. Rome was in charge. They would say back in the day that there are many places there were more slaves than there were free people. You'd be wondering out there, someone might just pick you up. Don't think today is the only day where they had sex trafficking and things like that. Let me tell you, back then it was bad. people would just get people, and he would mark them, and they'd become slaves. I think this is a moment where just the heart just sink. Think about your relationship with Christ. Is there moments in your relationship with Christ where you thought you were doing great, but then the Spirit just hit you and said you're not? You kind of left Jesus somewhere? You kind of left God out of some things? But the Scripture continues on. He says, verse 46, now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. 3 days. Can you imagine? You can't find one of your children for 3 days? They couldn't find Jesus for 3 days. Now, this is a special couple, because this is a special child. I would imagine how stressful that would be, just losing one of your children for an hour, 2 hours, 6 hours. You're going to doom and gloom here. You're calling everybody. And the day, you're not sleeping. We're talking 3 days. I guarantee you, they did not sleep for 3 days, because I wouldn't. And you got to throw this in the equation as well. We've been given the task to take care of the God's Son. We've been given the task to take care of God's Son, and we lost him. Oh my gosh, we have one of the most horriblest parents in the world. That's what you begin to do. You begin to tear yourself apart. How many of you even told yourself, I am a horrible parent? I'm not even suitable to be a parent. I cannot believe that happened. And here it is, Jesus is not with them, and it's been 3 whole days. I'd have been stressing out. I'd have been all over the place. But you got to remember, they don't have cars. They don't have cell phones. They don't have Amber Alerts. They don't have a police like we do. They were on the move. And they were turning around, going back to Jerusalem. And you know, Jerusalem was not a little small town. Jerusalem was big. A lot of activities. People were still packing up. People were doing all kinds of things. And they're going to be looking for a 12-year-old boy. And they looked for him for 3 days. I want to remind you of this. If you're still looking for Jesus, I'm telling you, don't give up. But I will tell you this. You can't look for him unless the Holy Spirit prods you to look for him. As they continue to look for him, they ended up finding him in the temple. We can call that the church house. I want to share with you today that there should be some things where we should be able to find Jesus at. First of all, we should be able to find Jesus in the church. Not that literally that he's camping here, but his spirit should be amongst the brothers and sisters of his family. So we should be able to find Jesus in churches. But we also have to be careful, because not every church that has a cross and a steeple on it means that Jesus is God in that church. So we need to also know that we can find Jesus not only in the church, but also we should be able to find Jesus in Christians. On how we talk, how we live, how we act, what we do should be different than the rest of the world. And they're searching, and they found him after 3 days. And they find him in the church. You know, sometimes when I'm at a desperate moment, or I'm in a moment where I'm down, or I'm in a moment where I'm not sure what to do, I find myself in the church. But not just in my office, because I go there every day, but if I'm really in a moment, I come here. I come here to the altar. All through scriptures, what I found out, all the way back through Abraham, you see David, and you see God's men and women, they would find themselves at an altar. Jacob, Isaac. You see men and women coming to the altar. They knew God. But sometimes we want to get closer to God. We are at a crossroads in life, and we find ourselves coming to draw closer to God. And we do that when we come into the church, or when we can find an altar, and sometimes people would make an altar like Jacob made several out in the middle of nowhere. And then there would be, and God would meet him there. It's when we get our hearts right with God and we make our plea toward God. Jesus is found in the church, sitting in the midst and among teachers. He just celebrated Passover. Jesus wanted to spend more time. It's great to spend time in the car. I love to talk to Jesus in the car, especially when no one's in there with me. I can get verbal. That's great. Now, the guy next to me in the lane may think I'm a little crazy. But I might even be walking down this neighborhood, praying over the neighborhood. And I like that too. That's good too. I like being down somewhere in other places in my home. I like to pray in my bed. I like to pray at the dinner table. I like to pray wherever I'm at. But there's something about being in the church. There's something about being sacred and separate in the church at the altar, praying before God. You see, in the car, there's a radio. There's a stoplight coming. Somebody's driving too slow or I want to pass. There's other things that can get me off track. In the bed's the same way. I can turn the light off and my eyes say it's time to shut down. The body says it's time to fall asleep. And let me give you a point. If you fall asleep, you go, I don't like it when I fall asleep. When I'm praying, I end up falling asleep. Well, you know what? If Jesus is the last person you talk to, that's great, isn't it? So if you fall asleep, he might just say, zip it, you're talking, just shh. But when I come to the altar, I come to the church, that side of the church is different than this side. That part of the church, this side is different than this. This and this is different than this. The most sacred place in this church is this. It's where we bend a knee and give reverence to God. Jesus was in the church house amongst older men. And they're talking about this. They're talking about one thing, the Father. And the scripture says that he was sitting in the midst of the teachers. He was both listening. I need to be a better listener. How about you? Well, Carlos says I do. I need to be a better listener. If Jesus, the scripture says Jesus was listening. If Jesus is listening, then we need to listen. When we're in the church house. He was both listening to them. And he was asking them questions. He could have took front stage, couldn't he? But he was listening and he was asking questions. He was conversing, conversation in the church house. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And I think we are moved sometimes when we just share great news, like today, about the funds that have come in that God had. There is no way that we could have brought these kind of funds into the church. There's no way. But we know God did that. There is no way that we could raise those types of funds. So I'm astonished today by God's hand. I'm astonished that God uses the small things in the world. It amazes me that a 12-year-old boy is sitting amongst the men that are knowledgeable of God's word, knowing the law, the book of the law, and all those things. Yet it's all flipped around. And they become astonished and they're just amazed at it and how he answers. But it won't be about till about few years down the road, they're going to despise him. Now, some of these guys probably may have passed away. But there's going to be a group of Sadducees and Pharisees and scribes that are just going to try to butcher him down because they're going to be threatened. So as he's there, they find him. That says in verse 48, so when they saw him, they were amazed. Could you imagine just the relief, the weight that comes off? Now, you know that Joseph and Mary, let me finish it. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. Now, anxiously. We're kind of stressed. In the Bible, Jesus says, do not worry. So we don't like to use the word worrying in church, but we can say, let's use the Christian word, concerned. I'm just going to say you, I'm going to tell you what, sometimes we get worried, don't we? We get worried, we get concerned, but we get more worried, we get anxious. Let me tell you, sometimes you just stress out. This is a moment when people are going to stress out. And they found him. And he says, she said, we found you. You made us, we were so concerned. I'm just telling you, 3 days, I'm telling you, you're going to call everybody you know. They weren't going to call on the phone, but we'd be calling everybody. They're going to go find everybody they know, and they're going to turn. They went back and they searched, and they couldn't find him. But they were looking in the stores. Wherever they went, they were backtracking. Everywhere they went, they were backtracking. I just wonder, why was the temple the last place? You see, we do the same thing. When we're searching for something that's stress, that can help us, we have a tendency to go everywhere else. And we make this place the last place. But we'll go all over the place and we'll talk to everybody. And we'll talk to everybody about our problem. And we'll try to figure it out without coming here. And when you get desperate enough, after 3 days, you'll find yourself here. 3 days, they ended up finding him in the temple. Sometimes that takes us months to get to here. Because we're still running around trying to find the answers to our problems and the answers to whatever's going on in our life or whatever we're seeking. But even Jesus says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek, you shall find. And knock, the door shall be opened. But where's that conversation come from? It comes from here. We make it so hard. You know, in the 90s, they came up late 80s, early 90s, they came up with these, some of you may know, they came up with these, people were offended by them, but if you had these little three-year-olds that could just run all over the place, they put a little thing around their wrist, and mom would put one around hers, and had that big old string thing and would run around, so you just jerk on it, so you always know where that kid's at. Sometimes I think the Holy Spirit does that to us. Keeps pulling us back. I mean, y'all remember that. Anybody remember that? I remember those, yeah. You don't want to claim you had one, but the Holy Spirit does that to us sometimes. Get back here. Because we have a tendency to wonder, don't we? We have a tendency to think everything's okay and we're walking away. We don't even realize what we're walking away from. But what does Jesus say? And he said to them, Jesus said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Wow. Could you imagine? I mean, only Mary and Joseph is the only ones that can experience this. Your 12-year-old telling you something like that, and you're just done. You don't say anything. It's God's son. But he said, I had to be about my Father's business. You see, the Passover was important. It is one of the elite, one of the most important feasts that the Jews have. Still celebrate it today. But let me tell you, without Jesus, there's nothing. Christmas is one of the most important holidays that we celebrate, the birth of Jesus. But without Jesus, Christmas doesn't mean anything. And some will say, Easter, it's all about Easter. Yes, Easter is a part of it. But you don't have Easter without Christmas. But even with Easter, you can do everything. But if you don't have Jesus in it, it's not Easter. You missed it. Sometimes I think we miss it, even here. We have to keep Jesus a part of it because it must be about our Father's business. Scripture says, but they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Imagine it, not understanding. And then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And we don't hear another thing about Jesus until his ministry starts. Could you imagine having a perfect child and you are an unperfect parent? It doesn't make any sense, does it? But sometimes things in Scripture may not make sense. But when you put God in it, it makes all sense. Jesus is God's Son. Jesus is the Son of God. I know today there are a lot of people that are searching for an answer to whatever question that they have. Running around trying to figure it out. Even this whole thing with COVID. Our country's gotten divided. Politically, even in prior to that, even in denominations, we're splitting over different things. So much division going on. A lot of worry, a lot of people getting sick. Suicide is in the top 10 of deaths now. All kinds of things, and none of it seems good. None of it seems good for anybody. But let me tell you, Jesus and God's word tells us as we get closer, these things are going to happen. So let's not be alarmed. Let's be ready that even though Jesus came in the flesh the first time, that we need to be ready to hear his voice because he will come again. Not as a baby, not as a 12-year-old, but the King of Kings. Just as God's word says he is. Our hope is not in what's going on in the world, but our hope is in God. Our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in what the Holy Spirit tells us and through his word. Sometimes I need something just as simple as what Jesus said. Did you not know I must be about my Father's business at the altar, at a place where I can get some of those answers to those questions that I've been searching for and asking. I think it was a special time that God shows us here in Scripture, seeing Jesus at the age of 12, being found in the church. That's why I like it sometimes when we don't have children's church, but we have church here. That they may see, that they see what's going on in the adults with us. That they grow and they hear words like redemption and they're like, what is that? Or sanctification and they're like, what is that? Or tribulation, what is that? Or glory, what is that? Hallelujah, what is that? But the more they hear it, the more they hear it, the more they hear it, the more they know. That's why you see me sometimes saying, no, let them come up here. Because they are the future of the church. And sometimes we mistake that by thinking that they don't learn here. And they do learn here. I know what it was like being 12 years old, sitting in the pew. My eyes was always looking around and seeing the deacons at the church. I was always afraid of deacons in the church. Always afraid of deacons, not the pastor, but the deacons in the church. Why? Because one pastor was in the church. I could stay away from him, but deacons, there was a lot. And they were always watching. And I always thought when I was growing up that they might be a little bit mean. They're too strict. But as I sat there, service after service, something began to pull me toward God's Word. And I would hear things I didn't understand, but I was interested. And I wanted to know more. And then I'd go home and find myself opening up my own Bible in my own bedroom. And no matter what version it was, I was learning something. Then I'd go again. And I'd go again. And I was no longer 12 or 13. I was 25 or 30. 35 and 40. And today you can still find me here in the church house. And I'm praying that's the same for you. And I had my moments when I was like out there. And I had to turn back around. Because I kind of left Jesus somewhere. I had to turn back around. But you know what? I tried to find him in different places. But in my heart, I knew where he was. I had to go to an old-fashioned altar. And I got down. And I didn't even know what to say. But I knew I was in the right place. And all these deacon people put their hands on me. And I didn't like it. But this love just shot through me. It was in a little church in New York. And that was my turnaround moment. My turnaround moment. But I didn't spend 3 days away from the Lord. I spent 3 years wondering. I knew him. I knew where he was. But I was trying to make him be where I wanted to be. If you feel like you've lost Jesus, let me tell you, the only place to get him is on your knees. You must humble yourself before God Almighty and get it right. Can't nobody do that for you. That's you and God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Father, as we close, may you do whatever you do in the hearts of your people. May your will be done. Amen. Let's